Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One which is to be born will be called the Son of God. Notice that Jesus came and was conceived by the Spirit. In other words, Jesus was born of the Spirit. Amen. Now, that's important. He wasn't born of the natural. He was born of the Spirit. It was a work of the Holy Spirit that brought Jesus into this realm. Isn't that right? And the work of the Holy Spirit was to bring in a Son of God, a man of righteousness, a man of authority and power, a kingdom man who knew how to operate in the kingdom of God and do great things for God. Amen? That's who the Holy Spirit was conceiving and bringing into this world. And somebody says, yes, but that's Jesus. Well, good. Look in John chapter 3 and see if you can find you. John, the third chapter, a man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, comes to Jesus at midnight talking to him, acknowledging that he is a man of God. And you know, it's amazing. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Notice that Jesus looks at this man. He says, listen, except you get born again, you can't get a grasp of this. You'll never see it. It'll never be real to you until something happens in your life. Why? Because you can't see it in the natural. You can't feel it in the natural. You can't get it in the natural. Something's going to have to happen in your life before you can even see what I've got. What is that, Jesus? You're going to have to get born again. Hallelujah. And so Nicodemus starts thinking natural, like a lot of people. You know, if I go to church, it'll change my life. How many of you found out going to church won't change your life? It just makes you religious and miserable. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if I pray more, it'll change me. No, not necessarily. Well, you know, maybe if I put some money in offering, it'll change. No, it won't change. See, natural things will not cause you to see the greatness of the kingdom that God wants to work in your life. You can't earn it. You can't get in it by natural works. Amen? And this is what the Lord is trying to tell us. Okay, if I can't get in this through keeping the law, being religious, going to church, doing good things, then how am I going to see the kingdom of God? Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you," now listen, "unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again." So the new birth is the rebirth of our spirit by the Holy Spirit. So the same Holy Spirit that birthed Jesus into this world, now that same Holy Spirit does a birth in us and births us into the kingdom of God. Amen. Just like Jesus was conceived and born of the Spirit, you and I are conceived and born of the Spirit out of darkness into the kingdom of God. Jesus came to this earth. We come into the kingdom of God out of this earth. Hallelujah. Amen. And we begin to get into a place where the Holy Spirit does the same thing in us that he did in Mary's womb when he created Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit creates in us the life of God. In Titus 3:5, he talks over there that we are born again through the washing, renewing, and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, the Holy Spirit is what causes us to be born again. Romans 8:15-16 says that we didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, "Abba, Father." The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of Almighty God. Amen. In other words, the Holy Ghost is the one who brings me into a relationship with God. So the first work of the Holy Spirit in your life is you need to have the Holy Spirit birth you into Christ. You need the Holy Spirit to conceive in your spirit the kingdom of God and release it and bring you in. And what kind of a person is the Holy Spirit trying to bring you into? Just like Jesus, because we're following Jesus. He called us to do great things. He called us to rule in the kingdom. He called us to be representatives of God. He called us into righteousness. He calls us sons and daughters of God. Come on, somebody. And that's what happens whenever the new birth takes place in us. We are a changed person. How many of you would admit Jesus was different than everybody else? Amen. Guess what? The Holy Spirit wants to do that same thing in us until we become different. We're different from the world and we're like Jesus. Amen. So that's the first work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does a mighty work in us in the new birth. Now, once again, back over in Luke, we told you we'd spend a couple places in there. Look in Luke chapter 3 and drop down here to verse 21. Look what happens. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." What's the second thing that happened with Jesus? Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't just born of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit came down upon him that day. And Jesus began his ministry at that time. Amen? In other words, the Holy Spirit came upon him to equip him and anoint him to do the things of God. Hallelujah. So he was filled with the Spirit. How do you know? Because John 3:34 says that Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure. Meaning what? He had the fullness of the Holy Spirit operating in his life. Amen. Somebody says, well, what does that have to do with me? In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a mighty sound like a mighty rushing of the wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. Now, what are we supposed to do? We have the same spiritual experience that Jesus had. The first experience Jesus had was in the womb of Mary. He was birthed into her womb by the Holy Spirit, praise God. The first experience you have with the Holy Spirit is you're birthed into the kingdom of God and made children of God. The second experience you're to have with the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus had, you're to have the Holy Ghost come upon you and fill you and anoint you. Hallelujah. So you can live and serve and walk and breathe and do the things of God and have the helper and the teacher operating in your life just like Jesus did. You ever notice that Jesus didn't start his ministry until after the Holy Spirit came upon him? Why? Because he had to do everything the way you and I were going to have to do everything. And so therefore, he had to operate and experience everything the way you and I would. He was not just the leader. He was the example that we're to follow after. Amen? So if Jesus was born of the Spirit, then Jesus was filled with the Spirit. You and I should be born of the Spirit. Then we should be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Then the third thing you find is in Luke chapter 4. Drop down here in verse 14. After the Lord Jesus goes into the wilderness, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, confronts the devil with the Word of God, defeats him soundly. He comes out of the wilderness, and the Bible says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Everybody say, power of the Spirit. Notice that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And then, you know, the Lord went on down and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Hallelujah. What's the third thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us with? The Holy Spirit came on Jesus to anoint him with the power of God to do his ministry. Amen? The Holy Ghost came upon Jesus to anoint him to do his ministry, praise God. And that's how Jesus did his ministry, praise the Lord. Jesus didn't do his ministry by just showing up and hoping something happened. Jesus would go off out by himself and pray all night and get anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost and come in the next day and do miracles, hallelujah. He was showing us the way that we were supposed to operate. Somebody says, well, does that work for me? How about Acts 1:8? You know what the Lord said to the disciples, which he's saying to you and me? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Woo! Woo, glory to God. I don't know about you, but I want the Holy Ghost to come on me. Amen. I want him to come in and birth my spirit into the kingdom of God. Then I want the Holy Spirit to come in me and dwell in me and strengthen me and anoint me and give me the power to walk in the God. And then I want God's anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon me. Amen. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus did all of his ministry this way. Peter was preaching to Cornelius' house, and he says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was not just with him, God was in him, and God was upon him. Hallelujah. And if you want to go around doing good and healing the sick and beating up on the devil, then you need to have God with you, God in you, and God on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, folks. We're missing the boat here. We're just getting some of the work of the Holy Spirit when we need to have all of the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. But there are things you can't get till the Holy Ghost comes. When he comes, it'll make sense to you. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, we begin to see Jesus was conceived of the Spirit, so he had the Spirit in him. Jesus then lived with the Spirit upon him, but then Jesus ministered with the power of God flowing out of him. So we need God with us, God in us, and God upon us. Amen? And that's available. That's what the Lord's saying here. The Holy Spirit's come to do that in our lives. Amen. And then finally, let's look over here in Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. I want you to see something here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Here's the fourth and final thing. Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 11 says this, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Notice Jesus didn't get raised. He didn't raise himself from the dead. Amen? The Father raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit that went down into the caverns of hell, right down into the very places and the regions of the damned, and went right down in there and came upon Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 1 says that God speaks to him, and when he brings in the first begotten into the world again, he says, and again I'll be a father to you, and again you'll be my son. You know, he's not talking about when Jesus was born in the manger we read about over in Luke. He's talking about when he raised Jesus from the dead. And God says to Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1, and again I will be your father. That means he was his father before. But there was a separation there at some time that he wasn't his father. When was God not Jesus' father? Whenever he was God on the cross. When Jesus on the cross, it's the only time he refers to him and when he's talking to him as God. All the other times he talked about my father. But when Jesus is on the cross and he's taken upon the sin of mankind, what does Jesus say? My God, why have you forsaken me?
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.